The second full sitting week of Parliament kicked off today with the opposition sharpening its attack on embattled Energy Minister Angus Taylor. The minister is under fire over claims he intervened in a departmental investigation into the illegal spraying of native grass on land he part-owned, claims he strongly rejects. But the hardest-fought battle this week will be over the federal government's so-called union-busting ensuring integrity bill. Tony Burke is the manager of opposition business in the House of Representatives and the Shadow Minister for Industrial Relations, and he joins us tonight. Tony Burke, welcome.
Hi, Patricia.
The Labor strategy in Parliament has been to call for amendments to government legislation, but ultimately not to vote against it. Can you give an assurance now that Labor won't vote for this bill under any circumstances? Is this a bill that no changes can be made to for you to vote for?
Oh, this one's irredeemable. There are no amendments that you can put to this piece of legislation that turn it into a decent piece of public policy. With the others that we've dealt with in previous weeks, we've ended up with a vote where there are parts that we agreed with, parts we didn't agree with, and you had to exercise a single vote on that. With this one, the entire concept of the bill from the beginning is simply about damaging the organisations that argue for pay rises, that argue for better work conditions, at the exact same time that wages have been flatlining. There is neither an economic nor a reasonable justified need for this sort of legislation.
The government is raising concerns about how the interest from workers' entitlement funds is being used by unions. Isn't it reasonable to insist that money is used solely for the benefit of union members?
The workers' entitlement one hasn't come on today. That'll come on either tomorrow or the day after. But that's in the same category as what I just described with the other bill, the ensuring integrity
bill.
Okay,
so why doesn't Labor support greater transparency around how these funds are used? That seems reasonable.
If the government's view is that the earnings that come off workers' benefits belong to the worker, then they can bring forward a piece of legislation that deals with that and we'll look at it. But they haven't done that. For most workers, your unpaid entitlements sit in the employer's account. And any earnings, any interest on that is profit for the employer. Where you have funds to guarantee that if a business goes broke, then your entitlements don't disappear, that are jointly managed by employers and employee organisations, the earnings there get spent on decisions that are made jointly by the employer and the employee organisations. So instead of it just all going to profit, which the government apparently has no problem with, instead it gets spent on funeral insurance, it gets spent on mental health projects, it gets spent on particular programs of benefit to those workers. But if the government's argument is all of these earnings should actually just be straight additional benefits to the worker, then they can make that case, but I can guarantee they won't, because where these funds don't exist, they want the money to simply go to the boss's profit.
But why not allow for greater transparency around how these funds are used? There are reports the Electrical Trades Union, for instance, has been siphoning off money for its own purposes. Isn't that a form of wage theft? That's what the argument of the government is. Why wouldn't you create more transparency around this?
Yeah. Two things there, and I want to deal specifically with the ETU one, because when I heard that example, I was alarmed and did quite a bit of investigating and questioning over the course of Friday and the weekend. So I want to deal specifically with that. Before I do, though, if I can just say that where these funds don't exist, earnings on workers' entitlements go straight to the boss, and the government's not questioning that, not saying there should be any scrutiny, any integrity over that at all. At all. Now, with respect to the ETU payment, what I've been advised that particular fund did, so it's jointly managed by the union and the employer organisation, this fund. And the reason the fund exists is to make sure that if businesses go under, your entitlements don't disappear. Instead of distributing the earnings, the additional interest and things like that each year for the sorts of programs I described, they waited a few years before they did it. And so technically, the previous year's earnings get recorded as though they were capital. But what was distributed out was simply, as I've been advised, 3 years of earnings. The money that is required to be there for the entitlements is still there, hasn't moved. But because they used an accounting term in their initial statement, that was why Christian Porter's been claiming that capital was shifted. and why I was, found myself asking the questions that I was asking on Friday and over the weekend.
So you're entirely comfortable with what the ETU has done?
Oh, as it's been described to me, as it's been described
to
me,
so does it deserve more investigation then? You say as it's been described, there is clearly, there are clearly details that we are all yet to know about this. Should there be an investigation? Should we find out exactly what's happened here?
Well, they've put out in public statement exactly what's happened. Like that's been done. But yeah, I don't think you can say, and I'm not saying you specifically, I'm saying, you know, as a way of discussing these issues, I don't think it's legitimate to say, well, we need more scrutiny over the jointly managed funds where all the money has been going to specific programs that workers benefit from and some that employers benefit from, and say that that's where we need scrutiny, but we're going to completely ignore that wherever these funds don't exist, there's a risk to people losing their entitlements. There's a risk to people going to the taxpayer if the company goes bust. And if there are earnings off the money in the meantime, it just goes straight to the employer and they can spend it on whatever they want. Like it, either this is all considered not just workers' entitlements, but the earnings is also considered.
Okay, so would you be open to it if they did include, as you say, the employer's entitlements as well? The way that that's managed?
If they wanted to do something that implied to, it'd be pretty radical legislation, but if they wanted to do something that applied to all workers' entitlements and the earnings from them, with a view that the earnings from them should be considered workers' money, of course we'd look at that seriously. I think there's a fair chance the government won't be introducing it, though.
Okay. Independent Senator Jackie Lambie says she'd be inclined to vote against the bill, and this is, of course, going back to the Ensuring Integrity Bill, if yep. Victorian CFMEU boss John Setker resigned. Now, John Setker doesn't look like he wants to resign. In fact, he's going into court about even being asked to leave the ALP as a member. So, clearly, you can't get rid of John Setker, and Jackie Lambie may be about to vote for the government's legislation because of it.
Yeah, look, I'll talk about the legislation on its merits in terms
but
of
you need to
John
get, if you want to no, win, no, you need to get people like no, her on side, right?
Yeah, I hear you. In terms of John Setker, the points you've raised raise issues that he's got to consider in terms of the whole union movement. In terms of Jackie Lambie, she's got to work through whether she's willing to play that sort of card, knowing full well the damage that this legislation would do to the rest of the union movement, which is much, much bigger than him. If you think about, and you wouldn't know this from the government's talking points, but the average union member these days is a woman probably in her 40s working in aged care. That is the typical union member these days. And it's quite different to the image that the government wants to talk about. But that means where this legislation ends up hitting people talk about unlawful industrial action or unauthorised industrial action as though we're talking about really radical forms of protest. That could be as simple as a group of nurses who are concerned about staff ratios doing a work to rule where they're insisting on the technical rules that everything has to be sterilised. It could be a workplace where people say, well, for the next few days, none of us are working overtime as part of a campaign. It could be a workplace where people hand out a leaflet to customers to let people know about the issues that they're working through, which they're not authorised to do. Or as simple as, it would be considered unauthorised industrial action if at a fast food place the workers decided as part of a campaign they were no longer going to ask, would you like fries with that? These are the issues that under this piece of legislation, anyone considered to have a sufficient interest, it's not otherwise defined, can drag the entire dispute through the courts, try to get rid of individual union officials, or in any of the campaigns I just mentioned, try to get an entire union deregistered based on that happening at one workplace. This is really radical legislation.
If you're just tuning in, this is RN Drive. Tony Burke is my guest. He's the manager of opposition business and also the shadow minister for industrial relations. 0418 226 576 is our text line. What do you make of these two bills that are all about unions, and do you support them? Perhaps you don't. 0418 226 576 is the number to text on. So Labor is trying to kick John Setker out of the party, but you can't force him to resign. So When it does come to someone like Jackie Lambie, can you give her any assurances about John Setker and the role of the CFMEU?
Well, he's effectively gone already. Like, he's suspended from the party.
But well, he's still the head of the CFMEU, though.
The only reason that we haven't had the meeting, well, the union is much bigger than one person. By definition, the union is a union of all the members and all the people on the workplaces, and I wouldn't want all of those people defined by one person. But he has already been suspended from the Labor Party. He can have no influence in any Labor Party decision-making processes. The only reason the National Executive hasn't had its meeting yet is that a judge effectively asked them not to, so they've delayed the meeting. But the meeting will happen, and I think, you know, from the evidence that's out there, I'm not a member, but it's pretty clear that this will end up with him not being a member of the Labor Party, which is a step that we've been willing to take. But for this Gerry Hansen character in Western Australia, the employer who has just been found by a court, fined $60,000, described as having a pathological hatred of unions, stopped a health and safety inspection from taking place following a workplace death, more than $100,000 in unpaid wages that have been dealt with at different points. He's still a member of the Liberal Party. He's still a donor. He's been a significant donor to the Liberal Party. And the only thing that would happen to him with the legislation we were talking about was he won't be allowed to run as a union official. Well, you know, it's like banning me from the Liberal Party. It's really wouldn't hurt me.
Now, one of the other issues that was a very big issue in the Parliament, and you've been pursuing this, Labor continuing to attack Angus Taylor for organising a meeting with the Department of Environment, who were investigating the illegal spraying of native grassland on a property he part owns. He says he was representing the interests of farmers. Why don't you accept that?
We're trying to, the normal thing as a member of parliament, when you make representations to a minister, you normally attach the letter you've received. It's a pretty standard thing. We all do it all the time. And so we've been asking him, well, when was the representation made? The first thing that happened last week was they showed to Rex Patrick, and Penny Wong ended up getting tabled in the Senate, a letter that they were claiming he'd relied on. And then we looked at the date, and that letter was 6 months after the meeting. So it couldn't possibly have been part of the reason for the meeting. And then today he tabled another letter that he said was part of why the meeting was happening. That was dated 3 years before the meeting. And then he said, oh, and he was also talking to some bloke in Yass. What we need to get to the bottom of is, was he using his role as a member of parliament to represent his own personal interests? And repeatedly we've asked him, well, which farmers wrote to you? Who put their concerns in writing? Well,
today he said he didn't want to. I saw the answer he gave. I watched Question Time closely, and he said he didn't want to put their names on the record because he worried about, you know, activism, essentially, farmers being targeted.
Yeah, and there are lots of times when letters from individuals get tabled in the parliament where the name's redacted. Happens all the time, where the names get redacted to preserve privacy. He doesn't want to do that because I suspect the letters don't exist.
One Nation voted against a Senate motion to establish an inquiry into this. Pauline Hanson says it's a witch hunt. Does that mean the issue is effectively dead now? I mean, you can't pursue it with an inquiry, can you?
Oh, look, last week we didn't have Centre Alliance. This week Centre Alliance voted with us. The case will build over time on an issue like this.
So you think you can get One Nation on board?
Oh, yeah. I've said to you before on this program, I never second-guess the Senate. I don't rule out getting people on board. I don't guarantee how other people will make up their own minds. The truth is that if he has used his personal position to get meetings with the minister's office, and in particular with people from a compliance unit, at the same time that there was a personal interest, then you would expect us to keep pursuing this, and we will.
Tony Burke, thanks for coming on.
Great to talk to you.
That's the Manager of Opposition Business in the House of Representatives and the Shadow Minister for Industrial Relations, Tony Burke.